Heavenly Father, we have come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your gracious word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Welcome to our service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, the one who, especially during this Lenten season, we're reminded of his unspeakable love in his holy passion and going all the way to the cross for us in love to redeem us to our God. We pray that our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, may be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father, I'm altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us.
Glory to God.
We give you thanks.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we have in no way deserved your goodness, you still abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness towards us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you with willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Our first Bible lesson today is found recorded in Paul's epistle to the Romans. We read in the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 10. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So far, our first lesson. Read now responsively selections from Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications.
In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness.
Do not enter into judgment with your servant. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me.
My heart within me is distressed.
Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning.
For in you do I trust.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of righteousness.
And our next lesson is found recorded in Matthew's Gospel. We read there in chapter 20, beginning with the 17th verse. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." And the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one at your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. You to stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is found written in Hosea chapter 5, verse 13, and into chapter 6, verse 3. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king. But he's not able to cure you or heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers and as the spring rains that water the earth. So far the text. Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, stories told about a man who was traveling to the territory, the nation of Palestine, and during his week-long stay, he lived with a man who was working as a shepherd. During his stay, he noticed how that shepherd would carry food out to one of the sheep of his flock every day, a sheep that had an injured leg that was walking around with a noticeable limp. So he asked the shepherd, "What happened to your sheep? Why is it walking with that limp?" "Last year, I injured its leg on purpose," the shepherd said. "What? Why would you do that?" the incredulous traveler asked. "Well, this sheep loved to run off into the wilds and get itself into trouble and make itself vulnerable to predators, and so I hurt its leg to teach it a lesson so that as I would carry it around for days during the healing process and give it lots of extra TLC, it would learn to stay by my side, to follow me, and to trust me as its caring shepherd." I don't know if that story is true. It seems a bit far-fetched, doesn't it, for a shepherd to take such draconian measures to train a wayward sheep. But it is not far-fetched. It actually serves as an apt illustration of what God, our shepherd, does for us, his sheep. In concern for our spiritual welfare, he sometimes allows, might even say causes, painful things to touch our lives, but not because he's uncaring, but because he wants to draw us ever closer to himself, to teach us to depend on him more for our needs, both of body and of soul. And that's the truth that Isaiah, or I should say Hosea, the prophet, presents to us in our text, that when God hurts us, it's because he wants to help us. He has loving reasons for inflicting pain, and he yearns to refresh us with his grace. So who was this Hosea, the man who the Holy Spirit inspired to write the words of our text? He was called to preach God's word to the people of Israel about the, in the 700s B.C. And he was called to preach God's word to the inhabitants of the nation of Israel. That was the northern kingdom. Israel, the nation, was enjoying a good measure of earthly prosperity at that time. Their lives were thriving outwardly, their economy booming. Crowds were filling the religious shrines, engaging in rituals of worship regularly. Everything to outward appearances seemed real good. Inwardly, though, their lives were in rough shape. Their hearts had become disloyal to their God. They did not love or trust in Him, something that was evidenced by their lives, in that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, and they were practicing with impunity the whole spectrum of sins against God's holy commandments. And they had no understanding for sin's seriousness in God's eyes, the need for humble repentance and the blessing of forgiveness for sin that He freely offered them in His love. They had no interest in that. So it was at this time that the Lord caused a painful hurt to happen in their lives. It came in the form of a menacing foreign power that threatened to invade their land and pillage it and carry away the people as wretched slaves. And their response to this painful wound that God inflicted on them, this looming disaster, Hosea describes it in our text in verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria for help. So instead of turning to the Lord in repentance, confessing their sins and seeking His mercy, they looked to an earthly benefactor. In fact, one of the kings at this time of the northern kingdom, whose name was Menahem, devised a plan to pay 1,000 talents of silver, that's like 70 tons, so I read, to Assyria's king to persuade him to give Israel his protection. But the problem was that Assyria's king could not heal the nation of Israel of the ailment that they were suffering, which was spiritual in nature, their sin sickness. And so what did God do then? Well, then He decided to inflict on them a deeper wound. Verses 14 and 15 in our text. I'm going to be like a lion to Ephraim. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. And then I'll return to my place till you acknowledge your guilt and seek my face, and in your distress earnestly seek me. That, of course, was a forceful preaching of God's law, which He used to help them understand their lost spiritual condition and so that they would look to Him for deliverance. I, the Lord your God, who possesses both the ability and the desire to apply to your sin-wounded hearts the medicine that will heal those wounds. What application or applications, friends, does this have for us today? Well, certainly the strong images that Hosea presents here in our text are intended by the Lord to teach us and to impress upon us that the contemporary image that many have of God, kind of like a soft, naive, uninvolved grandpa who pats heads and smiles at the problem of sin rather than addressing it and seeking to heal it, that's woefully misguided. That vivid picture of a lion tearing its prey, carrying it off, and returning to its lair shows God's seriousness about sin, the sin problem that it is, and the need that everyone has for a heavenly benefactor, heavenly physician. The Lord has the ability. He has the desire to bind up sin-broken hearts, cure bleeding souls, and enrich the humble poor with the treasures of His grace, which no earthly helper can do. And the Lord is also here teaching us, His children, to retain a healthy sin consciousness. He wants you and me to examine our hearts on a daily basis in the light of His holy commandments, to mark our faults, and then to look to Him for forgiveness and to marvel at the lengths He went to remove our sins from us in His Son. He wants us to rejoice in his comforting invitation, which we just sang in the hymn. Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows to you, to me, to all, in a full perpetual tide, which is opened when our Savior died. And another takeaway, when troubles happen in our lives, when the Lord permits them, perhaps intentionally causes them, need we ever fear that he's abandoned us or turned away from us his love and his heart? Never. He allows hurts to touch our lives to remind us that we live in a world that's temporary, not going to endure, so that we do not love the world and the things in the world. It's all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father but is from the world, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. To remind us of that truth, and then also as an expression of his love when hurts happen. Proverbs 3 verse 12 says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it is for discipline that you have to endure pains and troubles. God is treating you as sons. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? We have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to our heavenly Father and live? They disciplined us for a short time as they thought best, our earthly fathers. No discipline, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time it's administered, but painful, but later produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And yeah, his ultimate goal through hurts and troubles and pains of our lives that he allows is that he might then refresh us with his grace. When a hospital patient goes into the surgeon's scalpel, it is to correct a medical problem they are suffering from, and that hurts, that surgery, but it's for a good purpose. When a child has a sliver in its finger, causes significant pain, ouch, and then suffers more pain when his mom digs it out with a needle, hurts even more, but for a good purpose. So the Lord uses the scalpel of his law to hurt us, to show us our sinfulness, that we might then flee to the precious gospel which he uses to bind up and heal our wounded spirits. And it's also a great comfort to know that the Lord assures us in his word that when through the deep waters I call you to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless and sanctify to you your deepest distress. And when through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flames will not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine, is to purify our faith of its weaknesses and make it even stronger. And notice also the two images the Lord uses here through Hosea to illustrate these precious truths in the last verse of our text. He says, let's press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn, and he will come to us as the showers, as surely as the spring rains that water the earth. So the dawn, or the sun in the morning, and rain. Will the sun come up tomorrow morning and beam its light earthward? I mean, when we spend a night sometimes tossing in bed with physical discomfort or spiritual distress, we might wonder, is it ever going to come? Always does. as it has for each day of every year since the world's creation, so it is with the Lord's refreshment for our souls. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And the rain, the showers, do they keep falling on the earth? Might seem sometimes it'll never rain again when there's a prolonged drought. Or will it ever snow again? We haven't had snow in such a long time. Well, we just got it today. Always does. So to God's pardoning grace in Christ is that dependable. He sends it down upon us like showers for the reinvigorating of our weary spirits. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Closing, sadly, the Bible does record the nation of Israel, that northern kingdom, did not heed Hosea's message. It did end up being destroyed by the Assyrians and the people deported, and likewise the southern kingdom continued on for a little while, but too, because of its faithlessness, the Lord permitted it to be overrun by Babylonian hordes and the people carried away captive. And the faithful remnant may have wondered at that time, well, has God abandoned us? Is he going to refresh us? Is he going to keep his Savior promise? You know what happened. 70 years later, the remnant returned to the Holy Land, and Jesus was then born at Bethlehem, by whose redemptive work God has provided spiritual healing for his people. The very Savior who said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So praise be to our God for his faithful love and for the certainty that we have as his children that when he hurts us, it's because he wants to help us. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Lord God Almighty and everlasting King of all creation and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have redeemed our lives from destruction and crowned us with loving kindness, and that you've not dealt with us according to our sins nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because of your rich grace and mercy, you've given your only begotten Son to be made sin for us, to shed his innocent blood and to die for our transgressions so that we might have everlasting life. Grant that we who are gathered here for worship will seek you while you may be found and call on you while you are near, that we may sincerely repent of the evil in our hearts and lives, forsake all sinful thoughts and ways, and be assured of your abundant forgiveness because of Christ's death in our behalf. And since you, O Lord, are aware of all the needs of your people, providing daily bread to both the righteous and the ungodly, keep us mindful of the daily care that you give to us and enable us to receive your blessings with thanksgiving. O Lord, cause your gospel to be preached in all lands and in every language. Maintain your church the world over in union with Jesus Christ, and cause the truth of your word to prevail everywhere. Bless our Christian schools with teachers who acknowledge and serve you so that the students will excel in all useful knowledge, and especially in the saving knowledge of the grace of Christ. Give wisdom and counsel to all who have authority over us in government, that we may worship and serve you without hindrance and live in peace and righteousness. Deliver us from the works of the wicked and preserve us in all dangers through which we must pass. We pray for all who suffer sickness, pain, disease, affliction, or any adversity of body, mind, or spirit. Give them the strength of faith that will enable them to bear their cross, and the Spirit of Christ who taught us to say with our prayers, "Thy will be done." In his glorious name and for his kingdom's sake we pray. Amen. We also join to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.